John chapter 14, it's going to be verses 15 through 26. John chapter 14, 15 through 26. This passage is titled, Jesus Promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him. For he dwells in you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And who loves me will be loved by the Father. And I will love him and manifest myself in him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him. Whoever does not love me and does not keep my word, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And bring your remembrance all that it is that I have said to you. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, God. We love you and we magnify you. Lord, you are the God of all creation. Lord, you are the God who has been there from the beginning. Lord, it is your steadfast love that endures forever. And God, we are so blessed to be a people that can gather here this morning to be able to boldly proclaim your word, Father. Lord, to hear your word taught, to hear your word sung, to recite your word, Father. It is a great privilege we're able to do this, God. And God, this morning, I just pray that in our hearts, Lord, that you work inside of us. Lord, cultivate into our hearts a desire to want to know you more. A desire to want to trust you more. And Lord Jesus, as the world is so loud, and at times, Father, can feel so overwhelming, Lord, we pray that in these times, Lord, that we not turn to our own comforts. We don't turn to the things that we find rest in, Father. But Lord, we pray that we turn and we find our rest in you. Lord, is our only hope in life and death through the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus, Father. Lord, is there any hope in this world? And God, we just pray that as we discuss the Holy Spirit this morning, Father, Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit inside of us grant us a boldness, Lord, to be able to go and proclaim your word to those that haven't heard, Father. Lord, because this world is fading away. And God, there are so many people that still need to hear about the joy of the resurrection of your Son, Jesus. And Lord God, I pray that you convict our hearts this morning, Lord, and prepare our hearts to receive your word, God. I do pray for our pastor this morning. I pray for Pastor Chris and Denise and their children, Lord, as they are enjoying this time, celebrating their anniversary together, Father. Lord, Chris, who is such a wonderful shepherd to this congregation, Lord, as we can see how Chris has taught us and has led us, Father, Lord, I pray this be a time of rest for him, Father. And Lord, I pray this be time of renewal, a time of meditation, Lord, that he is able to spend this time with his family, Lord, but Lord, to find an intimate time to spend time with you and your word, Lord Jesus. Lord, that he come back rejuvenated, Father, Lord, and refreshed, and with a desire and a yearning that I know that he has to teach your word, Father, and to lead these people, because, Lord God, I know that he loves them. Lord God, he loves you. God, I pray that you be with him, Father, this morning, and be with us as we spend this time in your word. It's in this I ask in your most holy name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. So this is, for those of you that don't know, my name is Scott Hughes. I am one of the elders here at Ocean Park this morning. It is my distinct privilege to be able to open up God's word with you all this morning. As I sit here and I've been watching how this, how the church service has been flowing, it just makes me praise God for this church. It is an absolute pleasure to be here, to be able to see the men and the women that God has called and raised up to be here all together. And what a unique opportunity it is that we have to be able to come together in one place to sing God's word, to recite God's word, and to sit with one another and discuss God's word. And as we're going to go through and we're going to spend a little bit of time in John this morning, I'm just immensely thankful to be able to do this. This is, I've preached a good couple of times here. This is the first time I was ever given an assignment. As we are entering into the time of Pentecost, and we have spent quite a bit of time already just going through and through our responsive reading, through what it is that Gil read for us this morning, this idea of the arrival of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to probably get ahead of myself here by doing this, so I apologize for redundancy in advance, but it is such an importance for us to be able to understand the Holy Spirit. And I realize, as Chris asked me, he's like, hey, you know, you're going to be preaching on Pentecost. He says, so you should preach on the Holy Spirit. I realize there's a lot that we could talk about the Holy Spirit. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to be able to spend time in John. I recognize, because there is so much we could talk about the Holy Spirit, he is, after all, the third person of the triune God, God manifest in the Spirit. And I would say, though, that he is probably the less understood, or often the less discussed. So this morning, I want to turn our attention to John chapter 14. So this passage for reference is taking place in the upper room where Jesus is giving his final instructions to his disciples. Jesus now, and in context as we see, is that on the eve of his death, he's telling his disciples that he's going away. Jesus in his ministry for these past several years has spent a great deal of time in shepherding and teaching and leading his disciples. But then the tone changes here in the upper room, and Jesus is telling him that he's going away. And in the beginning of John chapter 14, verse 1, he says this: "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, where I am, you may be also. And you know the way in which it is that I am going." I sit there and I think to myself, as Jesus is telling this to his disciples, this tone does shift. You could probably hear a pin drop in the room as Jesus is uttering these words. You know, what is it that Jesus is saying as the disciples are sitting here? What is it that he's saying? Is he really going away? Where is he going? Why is he going? Thomas is really the only one that we see recorded that is bold enough to ask a question, where Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" There's disbelief in what Thomas says. There's disbelief, there's desperation, there's fear. The disciples are now undoubtedly thinking, as we probably would if we were there hearing Jesus telling us this, if Jesus leaves, where does that leave us? Wouldn't it be far better for Jesus to remain with us, to be there to minister to us, to care for us, to teach us, to love us? Ocean Park, the unknown creates so much fear in us. It is uncertainty of what it is that's to come that often creates fear. We've all experienced fear in our own different circumstances. It paralyzes us. It causes us to retreat into ourselves, and at times that we've hoped for the presence of Jesus. You know, when life gets so hard and you realize and you just look in your circumstances and you just say, God, it would be so great. It'd be so great for Jesus to be here right now because, Lord Jesus, I need you. But this is where, and this is where the title of the sermon is coming from the words of Jesus himself. It says, I will not leave you as orphans. And praise God for that. Jesus says this in response to Thomas. He says, when he says, we don't know the way. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus' words here, as he's telling his disciples, they're not meant to be discouraging. He is telling them that he is going away, but this isn't meant to break them. This isn't meant to hurt them. Jesus is giving them hope, a hope of a promise to come in the hearts of the disciples and to us. This morning, I want us to reflect on Jesus' promise of the arrival of the Holy Spirit. That is, after all, what it is that we've just read. We can plainly see this morning that Jesus is telling his disciples that they will not be left as orphans, but rather the indwelling of the Spirit of God will come and make a home, will make a home, a dwelling in their hearts. Ocean Park, this leads us to my big idea this morning, which is this. Is the Holy Spirit is the irrevocable promise. It's the promise that can't be taken away. It is a permanent promise that is given to us. It is an irrevocable promise that dwells in all of those who belong to Christ. And this morning, as we go through our text, I'm going to break this down into about three different points. The first point that we're going to talk about is we're going to see how this is a promise affirmed, a promise made. It's for how it is that those that trust in Jesus will receive the promise of the Helper. This is what Jesus is gearing them for. And we'll also see is we're going to see how this promise is enjoyed, that though the world cannot see Jesus anymore and they won't see Jesus, they can enjoy the fellowship and security of the promised Helper. And then lastly, we're going to see how the promise is made secured, how the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the Helper, it's permanent. It's irrevocable for those who walk in obedience and trust in Christ. So in the first point here, a promise affirmed, starting in verse 15, Jesus starts this passage of text with an imperative statement to his disciples where he says this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But what does this mean, though? What does it mean for us to love Jesus, or what does it mean to keep his commandments? In order for us to proceed in following in this text here, I think it's important that we better understand what it is that Jesus is saying in this moment to his disciples. The manner in which that we conduct ourselves in our daily lives ought to demonstrate our love for Jesus. In just the previous chapter, Jesus tells the disciples and us as we read this, if we were to go back just one chapter to John 13, Jesus is telling his disciples this. He says this, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This command is such a simple yet impactful statement of what it is and what it means to follow Jesus. He calls us to love others as he loves us. And it's a call of obedience. And in doing so, it's not meant to be a reflection of who we are, not how people look at us and say, I'm not meant to take this internally and say, oh, look at how well it is that I love people and making this about me. That's not the point. This true love for Jesus rather ought to be a reflection of our love for him that points others towards Christ. And this is where he says, by this, the way that you love me and follow my commandments, that all people will know that you are my disciples. So what Jesus is saying in our text then is if we truly love Jesus, we can walk in obedience and do all it is that he has commanded us to do. We cannot simply say that we love Jesus alone just in words. You know, this is where we don't just pay lip service to say that, oh, yes, you know, I love God. In fact, when you ask, you know, I remember talking to people on the ship and, You know, it's like, oh, do you go to church? And it's like, oh, yeah, I love God, you know. But they're not really living a life in a manner that follows after God, you know. And God tells us not to be whitewashed tombs. It's not just an external thing, right? But it's rather, it's an attitude of love towards Jesus that ought to prompt us to action. Ocean Park, in a world that needs to know the love of God, we need to be active and obedient to demonstrate this by loving one another as Jesus has loved us. And so now, and this, by the way, this statement that Jesus has made, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You'll see that this is actually repeated several times just in these 11 verses that we read. So, but now Jesus is making this great promise to the disciples. So this is, again, reminding that Jesus is telling them that he's going away. But this is what Jesus tells them in verse 16 of our text. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. So here, and I thought that this was really great, is here is a great example of how Jesus is interceding on our behalf, which is exactly what it is that he's doing right now in heaven for us. As he is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding when we don't know how to pray, and we don't know what to pray, that Jesus, we know, is sitting at the right hand of God, and is interceding on our behalf. And it's so amazing to see in this moment, while Jesus is here in his earthly ministry, Jesus is already interceding on our behalf. And he says, if you love me and you will keep my commandments, that I will ask the Father, I will intercede on your behalf, and I will ask him to send the helper. How amazing is that? It's a wonderful promise that is given to those who love Jesus. This helper that Jesus references is that of the triune God. It's the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says that the Spirit will be with the disciples and it'll be with us forever. What a great promise. There is a relationship that has been developed between the disciples and Jesus. The disciples will receive the Holy Spirit, and he tells them even though the world cannot receive him because they simply don't see him or they don't know him. This statement remains so much true today, and in fact, it's funny. This is the story that Gil was reading out of Acts 2. What is it that the people were saying around them? The people that didn't receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, had too much wine. That's what it is. And they say that's not even after the third hour. It's not even after 9 a.m. You know, but they're saying it's like, oh, well, this is what it is. Well, this is still true in our world today, too, that there are many people who walk in darkness as we once did without the Holy Spirit. The ruler of the world, that is Satan, would love nothing more than to discourage Christians into thinking that we're alone. It gives Satan no greater joy than to see us separated, to feel desperate. That's what he wants. There are so many in this world that refute the possibility of the indwelling of the Spirit inside of us for those that trust in Christ. Again, I mean, we even see the biblical example in Acts 2. Their voices, perhaps at times, can feel overwhelming. I ask this, have you ever felt this way? Have you ever felt life so heavy that it pushes us into fear, that we feel separated, that we're alone without hope? But here's the promise of Jesus. And so even though the world cannot see him and cannot receive him, this is what Jesus is telling them. And he says, you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. Jesus assures us that despite what the world tells us, that we have security, that the Holy Spirit is inside of us, and that we know him. Ocean Park, the Holy Spirit is the irrevocable promise that dwells in all those who belong to Christ. And so we see where Jesus affirms this promise to the disciples and intercedes on their behalf to know that he is coming. But now this is where we'll see how the promise is enjoyed. We've spoken how Jesus made this promise to the disciples, one that will transcend their lifetime and that beyond to those that love Jesus and follow his commandments. That's his promise. Here we see the promise is enjoyed by believers. So as the text left off concerning how we will know the Holy Spirit because he dwells in us, Jesus continues to provide comfort to the disciples. And he says this, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while the world sees me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also live. And there's a great promise in there, and we'll get there. Now, in context, many scholars believe that what Jesus is telling his disciples when he says, I will not leave you as orphans, I'll be coming again. This is where we read in the children's story where Jesus is coming back, and he goes and he shows the disciples his scarred hands and feet. He's telling the disciples that he's coming, though the disciples were no doubt clueless of what Jesus was talking about. But we do know as modern-day readers that Jesus came to them again after the death and resurrection and returned to the disciples one last time before his ascension. But it is a promise to us as well, is that we are not left as orphans. We are not left fatherless. Is that we know that our Father in heaven, we know that he is coming again. And we know that he dwells inside of us now. He further encourages them by saying that in just a short while, the world will see him no more. And this is alluding to his impending death, which again, the disciples at this point really don't know what's about to happen. They have no idea what's going to precipitate in the next 24 to 48 hours. But he says this, as those who love and trust Christ, we know that Jesus doesn't stay dead. Jesus is telling us that there is life after death, and that's because he lives. And that's the assurance that he is giving his disciples in that moment, where he says, because I live, you live also. So how is it that Jesus is leaving? And Jesus is leaving, and again, unknown to the disciples, he's soon to die. But Jesus yet says, I live. And this is important when we come back to thinking how Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and how the Holy Spirit is going to call these things to our memory. So we remember this here in this moment. Jesus continues in verse 20 where he says, in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Here is the promise that through the work of the Holy Spirit, that one day that we will know the triune God, how Jesus is in the Father, the Spirit of God dwells in us, and us in him. And there's so much richness in this text, and I realize that we could spend a lot of time just parsing through these little bits of text. Because here it shows the richness of how the Holy Trinity it is that comes together, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. There's so much joy as Christians that we know and to be known by the Father. It is in great anticipation then that there will come a day when we will see the fullness of God's work on the cross be completed in its finality when Jesus comes back and he returns. And he returns to call us home. Sin and death will be defeated forever and will joyously be in the presence of our risen Savior. And what a day that will be. But this joy and this relationship, and this is what's important, and this is why we can't lose the forest for the trees here. This relationship with Jesus is very much enjoyed now as we're here on earth. Even in Jesus' physical absence, this is what Jesus has been pointing his disciples to. In verse 21 where he says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Repeat it again. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself in him. We need only, as Jesus reminds us, to keep and follow his commandments as a demonstration of our love for him. Our desire then should not be to please ourselves, to trust and to serve, but to trust and to serve Jesus and keep his commandments. Jesus simply says that those who love him will be loved by the Father, and he will be manifested in their hearts. Ocean Park, the gift of the Holy Spirit should cause great joy in us. We ought not to fear needlessly. We ought not to look for safety and security anywhere else, though Jesus isn't here. We ought not to look for the things that the world tells us we need to find security in. We don't need to look for, we don't need to look into our wealth. We don't need to look at our jobs for security, our families, the idols that we have that we treasure in our hearts that's not Jesus. Jesus says that he doesn't leave us as orphans. We are not left hopeless, but rather we are left with joy. Joy that can be enjoyed now through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We are, after all, We are the adopted sons and daughters of the living God. And Paul points us to this in Galatians where he says this: "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law." That's us. "So that we might receive adoption as sons." And he says, "Because then you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' You are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Ocean Park: "The promise of the Holy Spirit is an irrevocable promise that dwells in all of those that belong to Christ." And so we've seen how this promise is affirmed and enjoyed, and now we see how this promise is made secure. We've seen how Christ has interceded on our behalf to send on our behalf to God to send a helper. We've also seen how true love for the Savior is demonstrated in our obedience to trust and follow him. And not only these things, but we've also seen how he has not left us abandoned as orphans, but rather through it is the work of the Holy Spirit, we are known by the Father through Jesus. Now we see how this promise is made secured and what it is that Jesus is telling them. So Judas now, not Iscariot, says to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answers him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come, and he'll make a home with him." Look at the awesome thing it is that Jesus is saying here. If we love him and we keep his word, again, repeated, there's importance to it, the Father will love us, and he will make their home, their dwelling in us. The Spirit of God will come and make a home in the hearts of those that love Jesus. The dwelling of God on earth, at this point, has been through the Son. But it's no longer going to be just him. After the death of Jesus, Jesus is telling them that he is going to come and indwell in the hearts of those who love and trust him. Let's not overlook the significance of what's being said here. That he says that he will make a home for us. There's so much significance to home in society. And I think that, you know, even from like a worldly standpoint, home has a lot of significance to us. What is home? Home has a lot of different meanings to different people. But I think that if we were to say it simply, it's the place that we go and we rest our head. It's the place that we have shelter. It's the place where we have food. It's the place where family is. It's the place that you raised your children. You brought them up after the tiring and long day. It is the place that you come together to fellowship intimately with your family. And there is an intimacy with your home. You know, when you don't invite strangers into your home. In fact, that's what we tell our children. You know, not only don't talk to strangers, don't invite them into our home. But there is a sense of vulnerability when someone is invited to our home. When you invite somebody into their home, they see it as the way that you live, the things that we have or whatever. There's great significance to inviting somebody over to your home. What Jesus is saying is then, I would think, as I'm sitting here thinking through this, how impactful this is. He's taking up a permanent residence. Jesus says that he is going to make his home in us. There is so much significance in what it is that Jesus says there. That he says that he is going to come and he is going to make a home. This level of intimacy. That he will come and he will dwell in the hearts of those who love him and follow him. And it's not meant to be that of a transient living, right? You know, it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't fleeting. He doesn't just come in as he goes. It is an indwelling. That he lives inside of us. But we do see, though, and Jesus does tell us that there is a warning of people that don't follow him, where he says, "Whoever does not love me and keep my words," or "whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father it is who sent me." So simply put then here that Jesus demonstrates how we do not love. Not keeping the words of Jesus demonstrates how we do not love and honor him. If we are to receive the Holy Spirit, we ought to love Jesus and follow him in obedience. And finally, we see Jesus close in our text this morning when he says this: "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you." And so Jesus is encouraging his disciples, and he's telling them, "I am telling you these things now while I'm still here. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all it is that I have said." And that's important as well, is because we know that, you know, in this moment, Jesus is speaking directly to the hearts of the disciples. We can't forget where we're at in Scripture. And he's telling the disciples this, so when the arrival of the Holy Spirit comes, that they need not be afraid or concerned that maybe it is that they don't remember what it is that Jesus taught. That Jesus says that, "I am sending this Helper to you, and he will recall to your memory all the things it is that I have taught." So it's important there, but it's important for us as well how the Holy Spirit works inside of us and works inside of us daily, that apart from Jesus, we could do nothing. And it's the indwelling of the Spirit that works in our hearts, that cultivates in our hearts to want to follow in obedience, to trust him. He is working inside each of us each day to teach us. He is there during the times of rest and the times of distress. No matter our circumstance, the Holy Spirit is pointing us back to the hope of the gospel. Ocean Park, we ought to have great confidence and security of the Holy Spirit inside of us. He's not just this transient resident, but he has made his home in us, his permanent residence. The Holy Spirit is the irrevocable promise that dwells in all of those who belong to Christ. And so with that, I close this morning, and I'd like to briefly conclude with these three application points as we sit there and we think about those texts. Firstly, I ask this: do you find yourself living in fear? Fear of being alone, discouraged, downtrodden? Do you at times feel hopeless, without direction and meaning? And I would simply say this, is come to Jesus. As it says in Matthew, Jesus says, he says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The promise of salvation is for all of those who believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For each of us that feels the weight of the world and the burden of our sins, I ask you to turn and repent from those things and to believe it is in the one true God. The second, I ask this, as Christians then, how are you seeking a relationship to draw closer to Jesus? How are we doing that? Are we in love with Jesus? If we are to love Jesus more and follow his commandments, we need to be attuned to his word. We need to read Scripture. The Holy Spirit draws us into his word and recalls to our memory all it is that he has taught. After all, much like Jesus in his earthly ministry, again, and when we're thinking of the disciples in that moment when Jesus is telling them that he's going away, and again, no doubtly think to themselves, where does that leave us? Well, if Jesus leaves, who's going to nurture us? Who's going to teach us and care for us? Who's going to mold us? Who's going to conform us into his image? Who's going to correct us? Who's going to convict us? And you realize that that's what the Holy Spirit does inside of us right now. And this is why Jesus says, it is far better that I go, because if I don't go, then the Holy Spirit won't come. And so for us, there's just a lot of importance to that. And lastly, this is what I say. What are the stumbling blocks that inhibit a meaningful relationship with Christ through the Holy Spirit? Are we neglecting the Spirit by chasing after the idols of this world that vie for our attention? There are times, I will say far too often, that we trust in ourselves to do what is right and not trust in the leading of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Pastor Chris, he was texting me, him and I were texting throughout this week, and he put this in one of his texts, and I'm going to quote him here by saying this: "The marks of love is trust. If Jesus wants what is best for us, we can be confident and secure that he is doing what is best for us. Therefore, we can submit to him in obedience, even when we don't understand, even when we don't like it," end quote. we ought to turn from our idols and trust in the leading of the Holy Spirit. Following in obedience is not always easy, but it's always worthwhile. We simply need to trust in His leading, to love Him through our obedience. Ocean Park, we have confidence to know that we are never alone. It's been a promise as we've been going through the pages of the Old Testament that has all been leading and pointing us towards Christ. Where even all the way in Joshua, which is one of my favorite passages, God says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you wherever it is that you go." We can have confidence in the Holy Spirit that He is with us wherever it is that He goes, we go. He's not transient. He's there with us. He is in our hearts. It's the same Spirit that once filled the Holy of Holies as the Israelites are moving and they set up the tent and Jesus' presence and His Spirit is made manifest in there. It is that same Spirit that lives inside of us. He has made His home in us. Let the promise of the Holy Spirit encourage us then. If this be true, if the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us and can't leave us and won't leave us, it should cause us to be bold in our relationships then. Bold in our relationships with one another, making much of who God is and what it is that He's done. It should enable us with confidence to be able to go and share God's Word with people that have never heard His Word before. Because the promise of the Holy Spirit is that He dwells inside of us, and He dwells inside those that love and trust Him. And as Jesus repeated so many times, if we are to love Him, we are to follow His commandments, and it becomes our great desire to do so. The Holy Spirit is the irrevocable promise that dwells in all of those who belong to Christ. In all that we say, in all that we think, in all that we do, to God be the glory. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You, God, for bringing us here this morning. Lord, as we have opened Your Word to the arrival of Your Son, Jesus, Lord, and we talk about how Jesus is speaking to the disciples, Lord. And Lord, giving them the promise of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, it's so important for us to recall these things to our mind, that we not lose heart. Lord, because we know that You are living inside of us. You are active. You are actively working in us. Lord, You are cultivating us. You're teaching us. You're growing us. You're convicting us, Father. And Lord, we never ought to feel alone. Lord, because we know that You are dwelling inside of us. And Lord, I just pray that as we leave here this morning, Lord, I pray that You give us a confidence and a boldness to be able to go and share Your Word to a broken world, a world that needs Jesus. Lord God, I just thank You for this time. It's in this most holy name we pray. Amen.